This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode of In the Black. We are kind of, you know, at this point, coming out of a lockdown, you know, in Australia. I know it's obviously different all around the world, but for us, we are potentially 4 weeks away at the recording of this episode from opening gyms back up. But obviously, things are going to be very different. They're not going to be the same as they were going into this lockdown. And that's something we want to talk about today. So this is a two-part series. In this first part, we're going over sort of the macro view of how the world has changed because of the virus and how this will affect gyms and what changes we need to consider. And then in the next episode, it's going to be the changes that we can make and kind of more on a micro level, on an inside the gym level, so you guys can, you know, make the right moves, because this is definitely an opportune time to make some changes that are necessary. And that's kind of what we want to go over in this two-part series. Before we dive into this episode, of course, Waterfy sponsors this podcast. We did a webinar, with MP and Waterfy, and we talked about this topic, about reopening gyms, about online models, all sorts of stuff that was extremely useful. And the reason that we did it with Waterfy and MP is because these are companies that are proactive in helping the fitness industry. I don't know for a fact, but I don't think MindBody did how to you know, benefit your gym and grow your gym during this pandemic. So I think you want to be working with a company that is proactively helping your gyms, proactively helping the fitness industry. And obviously, these bigger, larger companies, although they might have, you know, some okay software, they're definitely not on the ground taking action, trying to help their customers in the same way that a company like Waterfy is. So if you guys are interested in making the switch over to Waterfy, they've been super helpful during this period, and they will continue to be helpful going forward. It's waterfy.com/MMP, and you can get 20% off your first year with them. And now, if you're going to make a change, you know, all our member numbers are down, there's less data to move across. Now is definitely the time to make a change and to learn the software as well, while you're probably not as busy as well. So great time to do it. Okay, cool. So first thing, let's start with what has happened to consumer behavior. So obviously, a lot of this stuff is opinion today. None of it's necessarily factual yet, but I think, you know, we've been in this industry such a long time now. I think that we have some pretty good ideas of, you know, having worked with so many clients over the years, hundreds if not thousands of clients, what consumer behavior will be like after this lockdown. So what are your initial thoughts on what the new clients and current clients are going to be like?
Well, straight away, I think you know, this is going to be a huge change. Anytime there's a huge crisis, you know, you hear it from everyone. Some businesses won't survive, some businesses will survive, and then some will thrive, which is definitely true. If you plan on changing nothing and you can go back to how it was, I think you can already tick the box. You are in the camp of businesses that are going to die.
Yes.
Because A, things have vastly changed on the outside. So if you're not changing with them, you're about to die. And then B, if you've had 2 or 3 months off with your gym closed and you couldn't think of one way that it could be better when you get back, you know, you just think you're in the wrong game as well.
Yeah.
It's such a good opportunity to improve things. And yeah, exactly what we said. Things have vastly changed with the consumers. I think that there are all different types of consumers out there. So it's going to depend a lot on which type of consumer you serve.
Yeah.
If you've got some cheaper memberships at your gym, you know, maybe like $50 or less a week, you might have a huge portion of your existing members or the members you were going to go after that have lost their job and don't have prospects of getting a new job anytime soon. So just how much money they have to spend on their fitness and how they value it, like that has completely transformed. Potentially, you have really high-end clients that are just doing personal training with you and they're dropping, you know, $100 to $400 a week training with you at your facility. They've probably still got the money. Things might be a little bit tighter, but in the grand scheme of things, like, hey, I need to stay fit. But their opinion on what is safe and healthy to go and train in might be completely changed. They might have been like, yeah, I love that gym. It's like sweaty and sick and we train hard. And now they look at that and say, I don't want any part of that, you know? And just like what they think is most important in terms of cleanliness and delivery has completely changed. And one last one I'll mention is that we've seen a transformation in where people even want to train. So many of our clients now see support working out from home, as an example, as a massive part of their membership. Whereas before, that wasn't even a thing to them. Yeah, that was just completely irrelevant, not something they were interested in at all. So I guess to start, it's just if you think there's no changes or you don't need to change at all, I think you're already in massive trouble. Mm,
yeah, I think if this whole process has felt, if your knee-jerk reaction or if your gut reaction when, you know, we first got told that we're going to have to lock down and then second, we're unlocking and you're like, oh, God, that's so much work, so much change to do. If it just felt too much for you, you probably shouldn't be in business because...
Well, just don't reopen. Take the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good sign to not reopen because, you know, if things are too hard for you, then they're only going to get harder. And this has been some really challenging times for people. And I think they're probably, you know, if you're coasting a little bit and you didn't really feel like doing the extra work, because I can't tell you the amount of stories I've heard of gyms that didn't react for the first 3 or 4 weeks. It wasn't until they were deep into lockdown and there was no money in their bank account that they finally took action. So being that reactive and not proactive is a very, very poor quality as a business owner. So definitely not something you should be in a leadership position of if you're going to be that slow to react to these sorts of things. And so if you're listening to this now, you know, it's time to be proactive about reopening. And if this whole conversation is exhausting to you and you're not excited by doing something like this and getting ready to take actions, it's all too hard. Like Raph said, it's maybe a better option to not do that and work for someone else. So one of the things about consumer behavior I want to bring people's awareness to is that there's one thing, you know, you might have a mix of people that don't give a fuck about COVID. They think it's a conspiracy or they're just not scared whatsoever.
More concerned about 5G than COVID.
Yeah, they're just ready to jump back in and they have no consideration for other people. There's definitely a portion of those people. Or you might, you know, be in the camp of, you know, especially cautious. You know, this maybe someone you know passed away from this or got really sick. Or you might think you're in a high risk category. You might have, you know, some kind of like lung condition, pre-existing lung condition or autoimmune condition that kind of puts you in a high risk category, like, I don't know, type 1 diabetes. And so one thing is guaranteed for sure is that likely these two camps or some variation of these two camps will be at your facility. And so you'll get people who are showing an extreme lack of consideration and care while they're working out, and you're getting people who are being especially cautious. And so you're thinking to yourself, well, which side am I on? You need to take the side of being especially cautious. You can't have people that are in your facility being reckless and then people who are overly cautious and you saying to the overly cautious people, hey, don't be so worried about it. You know, it's going to be fine. You know, it's safe. That is not, you need to, as a business owner, err on the side of caution. And someone who is being reckless, you either tell them to pull it in line or you kick them out of the gym because they're going to be bad for business. If you get a reputation on the street that you're being careless, you will get more scrutiny from government bodies. You'll get your reputation will be hurt. People, you know, might have customers come in and film it and take photos and be like, hey, look how reckless they're being. You'll get reported. These are all things you don't want. So you, as a business owner, be more paranoid and be on the side of caution with these things. So someone coming in and being reckless and careless about the situation and openly kind of, I guess, spreading the sentiment that everything is going to be fine and not to worry and, you know, they're not following the rules properly, that is someone that needs a stern talking to or they need to leave because it's going to be some pretty hard and fast rules on that sort of behavior.
Yeah, I think a good way to think about this, how I've been thinking about it, is if somebody does contract COVID at your gym and then unfortunately passes away from it and everyone looked back at, hey, what was happening in that gym that caused this? That is like, if you think about it from that perspective, that's how ready you need to be. You need to be like, that sort of review is coming into your gym after someone has got it and passed away. If there's anything in there that you're super embarrassed about or you know would look incredibly bad, you need to be basically stamping that out immediately.
Yep.
Someone looks in and says, you know, they did everything they could. That's how you want it to be.
Yeah. So second thing that we want people to have a think about during this whole thing is, you know, we've got potential and like, you know, there's going to be extreme versions of this depending on what country you're in. And there's going to be much more wound back versions of this, but undoubtedly there will be changes to regulation. And so some of these things that we've heard, you know, ahead of time from some of the governing bodies, they haven't officially released them yet, but they've, you know, done draft variations of this, is there's going to be restrictions to how many people you can have indoors. So that means it will will partly in the initial stages of unlocking be about like just a total number, but then eventually it will be like more of a per square meter thing. So for example, in the hospitality industry, in restaurants, a lot of them, even though they're getting permission to reopen, are choosing not to reopen initially because literally having 10 people inside of a restaurant and the amount of expenses you have to bring up, like the waitresses and, you know, the washing of the dishes and the electricity and all that stuff that goes along with it, they're better off just being a takeaway joint for now, until they can have, you know, 25, 30 people. So just those considerations is going to be a big one, and it may be a permanent change until there's some kind of vaccine, which could be, you know, 12 to 18 months away, if not more. So that's one thing to consider is, you know, this space restriction, bodies per square meter or per square feet, depending on where you are. And then the other regulations are going to be around the shower facilities and locker rooms, and so the hygiene. So, you know, there's potentially going to be, it might not be, you know, a legal matter, but it might be enforced that, hey, no shower facilities, no locker rooms or no crowded locker rooms, different wash stations. There might be, you know, you might be required to have, you know, hygiene stations with thermometers and hand sanitizers and sprays and all these things. And if you don't, someone could walk in, like someone from the council, someone from local government, and go through and be like, okay, you don't meet these standards. The shower's open and, you know, people are using it and, you know, there's not enough hand sanitizer, you know, per square meter or whatever. And here's a $15,000 fine. You know, these are serious things that could happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you want to be sending the message to your community that you're looking after their fitness and you're looking after their health. And not looking after their health in this scenario just doesn't make any sense, I think, for a fitness and health studio.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so, obviously, with these regulations means that there will need to be a change in your model. So, if your model doesn't fit the regulations, unless you can, you have cash to survive till the vaccine, it's probably a smart idea to change your model. And there's a lot of things about the current models that we've discussed that don't work. So, for example, if you can only allow a certain amount of people, so one of the things I know they're doing in, say, the commercial gym industry is with their cardio equipment, is say you've got a line of 20 treadmills, they're only opening like every third treadmill. Yeah. And so that's a massive reduction in the amount of people that can come into that facility. And those facilities rely on massive amounts of people. They rely on 40, 50 people in you know, a body sweat class, a Les Mills class. And if they say, okay, we can only have 10 of you in here, or we can only have 15 of you in here, well, people go, oh, I'm just not going to work out here. I'm just going to go work out in the park. I'm going to work out at home. I've already been doing that. So obviously the commercial fitness industry, they drastically need to change their model. They're in all kinds of trouble. But in the group, in the micro gym industry, gyms like F45, gyms like you know, Orange Theory, Barry's Bootcamp, all these group models were built specifically on maximizing the amount of people that can have per square meter. The equipment, the layout, the exercises, the programming, the format was specifically chosen to get as many people in as possible because that is the way that they make money. That is the way they're profitable. And as a result, these are some of the models that are going to hurt the most because they are maximizing the amount of people they can have in the gym. And if that is like the opposite of what you're allowed to do, there's some serious things that need to get moved around.
Yeah, and I think even exacerbating that, how many people that were in the room was also even part of the selling point. Like, so right. For a lot of these,
the atmosphere.
I think for a lot of them, it's like, hey, we get 30 people in here and we go off.
Right.
And if you say, hey guys, we're only going to have 12 people in here, that's not better because there wasn't a lot of coaching that was going on anyway. It's not like you get more attention. You just get less energy and less high fives.
Right.
So you're getting, obviously it's going to be, it might be way less profitable because you got half as many people in there. And then on top of that, even that half are like, I don't even want to pay more for this. In fact, I almost feel like paying less because not nearly as good as it was before.
Right.
Because before you always sold me on the energy and the high fives and the sweat and the partner workouts.
Yeah.
And you never sold me on how much time I get with my coach in coaching. So even if I'm getting more of that, it's actually not of any more value.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds very kind of bleak and pessimistic, guys, but we're doing this because we need you to take it seriously. Because you, if you're there thinking that things are going to go back to the way they were, I'm telling you right now, they are not, okay? They are not. It is not going to go back to how it was. And so part of the reason for the government support is the government financial support is it's like, hey, here's a bunch of cash, but you know, you can't expect yourself to go back to the same levels with the same model. So you need to change how the model operates. And now, a huge part of how a model operates is who it targets and who it serves. And that's probably the final kind of aspect to this that you need to think about the most, and is one of the most important things, because depending on who your demographic was, depending on the kind of person that was coming to your gym, dramatically affects their financial status. So if someone, if you know, the majority of your if the majority of your gym is maybe a traveling population, you know, from overseas, that don't live in the town, you know, maybe it's more of a holiday town, and you get a lot of drop-ins and stuff, you're going to need to change that target market. You're going to get way less traveling. You're going to get way less drop-ins. You know, if you're a place where the majority of your people work in maybe the events sector, or, you know, you live near an airport, you've got a lot of pilots and air hostesses and that sort of thing. A lot of them are going to be out of work. So, you know, a lot of these different industries have lost work and lost jobs. And if they're, a lot of them make up your clientele, well, they're not going to be able to afford gym memberships anymore. Now, it doesn't always mean that you can't serve them at the gym. You might have a different offer for them, maybe in the parks, maybe an online offer, which we'll get to in the second part. But these are just major considerations to have. So you need to obviously know your clients really well, the kind of people that come into the gym. At this point, you've probably got a really good idea already of people that have lost their jobs, and the kind of demographic and kind of work, or the line of work that, of people that have lost their jobs. And then you might identify with people that have stayed really strong economically. Maybe people have started spending more. Maybe they're doing more PT. Mm. Maybe they bought a really expensive home gym. Maybe now that is the clientele that you need to focus in on more.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think what you don't want to, and we realized quickly, is you're not going to be, it's so much hard work that's going to have to go into this. No matter what you choose, you're going to have to work. If you're going back to a type of clientele that's harder work than it was before, or less profitable than they were before because they have less money, or even just a class structure that's less profitable than before, it's just not going to be fun or exciting for you. I think that you've got to work out now, how is this going to be fun and exciting for me? And that's usually going to be changing things up, changing who you're targeting in a way that you're like, wow, this can be even better than it was before this whole mess.
Mm.
And I think unless you can convince yourself of that, honestly, deep down in your heart, it's going to be difficult to motivate yourself to go and put all this into action.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I'd say that, you know, just generally having you think about that target demographic as well is, if this was to happen again, okay? So let's just say that you target these people, you bring back a very similar crowd, it starts to grow again, and then it kicks off again. Obviously, the second time, it's going to be worse, right?
And the government support will be less.
Definitely, definitely. So, you know, you've already had this massive dip in production and economic activity, and then it's starting to recover. You get hit again and it goes down. If those, if you're back to say 60%, you know, then you take another hit from there. It's rather than, you know, falling to 50% like you did the first time, you fall to 25-30%.
You know, probably like most businesses, you got less savings the second time around.
Exactly.
Because you just blew all your savings on this once in 100-year event.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a likely thing to happen. You know, this is something you need to consider as well. So, who are the clients and what is the structure that you are going to build this second time around that is most protected from these sorts of events, from, you know, not just a pandemic, but just a recession, you know, really poor economic times. So, don't want to definitely, you know, another thing is obviously a lot of us have government support. Don't want to be relying on that government support. You don't want to build a model based off, okay, as long as this money keeps coming in, you know, we'll be fine. You know, as harsh as it might be, the government can just pull the money anytime. You know, they might said, you know, they might have said 6 months, and they might go, you know, 2 months, we've decided, sorry, we can't do it. And whatever has to close has to close. And these are the realities of these things that happen. So don't go and build something. Don't go and stretch yourself so much to a point that you couldn't support it if you weren't able to build your revenues back up. So just be smart as well with the money that the government is supporting you with.
Exactly, because now is the time, now is the opportunity that you've got it and you can make the change. And I feel like, you know, if there's a second wave of this, you can't stand around the second time and say, who could have seen this coming? Mm. Everybody can see it coming. They talk about it in the news every single night.
Yeah.
So I think you just got to be, if you're going to, you know, have your name on a lease and you're going to have employees, you've got to be smart about it, and you've got to build a model now that is going to be able to weather a massive second wave, maybe like be able to weather a third wave.
Mm.
I think just realistically, you've got to build something that's going to be able to weather not having a vaccine and having, you know, on and off issues with this. I'm thinking, you know, all the way until 2022, you know, it's probably going to be something. That's like probably a worst case scenario, right? But that's really what you've got to be ready for. So I'd imagine it's going to be huge changes for that. And to give an example, I guess how Lockie and I are thinking about it now, in terms of our target market, we're looking more at the best customers we had going into this crisis. Those are the type of clients that we're looking at now. Most of them have supported us all the way through this. And we're thinking, okay, how can we put the regulations into place and how can we pivot the model to best service these clients in this COVID atmosphere?
Yeah.
So that's like, you know, really kind of the way we've gone about it. And we've looked at who are the clients we've lost and who are the clients that this shook around the most and just left the gym quickest because of financial issues and stuff like that. And looking at those type of clients, okay, that's like our not to attract avatar now.
Yeah.
Now we've got the people that we don't want. What are they looking for? All right, that's like not what we want to offer here. So you can probably even just look around, you know, because most micro gyms get a whole mix of people.
Yeah.
Even if you were trying to target, you always get a mix. Have a look. Have a look who's stuck with you. Have a look who is clearly going to be able to spend money to come back into the gym. Who is not complaining about losing their job. And that will give you, and who you enjoy obviously working with as well. And that will give you such a good head start on who to start attracting. And then you can do the model and do everything from there.
Mm. So last thing I'll leave you guys with before we switch it off and wait till next week for the second part is if you are seriously considering closing your gym at this point, if you weren't profitable, if you were, or maybe you're making such a small amount of money, you really questioned if it was worth it, and you know, been doing this for a fair few years, you've tried a lot of different things and you know, you had a lot of doubts about your future already and something like this has come along. It is like, you know, some people don't tell you this because, you know, people always say, you know, don't quit and, you know, you got to, you know, get be tough and support people and do what you can and, you know, quitters are losers, but, you know, sometimes it's okay to quit. Sometimes, you know, the best thing and the hardest decision is to quit and that is the best choice and the best road. You know, it's okay to find out after 5 or 6 years of doing something like this that, you know, you're not cut out to run a gym. It's just not what you want to do, or, you know, circumstances just so have it that, you know, your skill set and your passions are just not aligned. It's not what you thought it was when you got into it. If you're ever going to get out, now is the time to get out, and it's okay. You know, you can, you know, you can use this as an excuse. You know, obviously the, you know, egos stop us from doing some really, well, they make us do some really stupid things, right? You know, I'll give you an extreme example. You know, Hitler had the biggest ego in the world. He didn't know when to call it quits, right? And so many people in Germany didn't have to die, you know, didn't have to arm women and children. He should have just called it quits at some point, pretty early on when the writing was on the wall. That's why his own generals tried to assassinate him, because they knew that if someone didn't stop this egomaniac that couldn't see the writing on the wall, then more innocent people would die. Unfortunately, that's what happened. But that's an extreme example when ego gets in the way and blinds us
if he had a CrossFit gym, it would have been disaster.
And so if you guys, you know, if that's kind of where you're at, if the only thing keeping your gym open is your ego because you don't want, you know, other people to be like, oh man, he wasn't good enough, or he didn't, you know, he couldn't pull it off, or man, he's a loser for closing or whatever. That's just, who cares? Like, yeah, that's got nothing to do with it. If it's not worth sacrificing another 5 years of your life to just lose money and just have it be worse. And there is no shame in that stuff. You know, it's better to get out now, close everything, wrap it up quickly. You know, people that earn, you know, turn over, you know, $300-400 million companies, they're shutting down, right? You know, there's no shame in that as well. Like, these things do happen. It's just a part of life. So you can reset, can take this opportunity to pivot, start a new business, or work for someone else for a bit, or chase something you're more passionate about, go back, study something else. So yeah, I just think that some people don't get told that it's okay to quit and be on the other side. And sometimes it's what people need to hear. It's not everyone. But yeah, I just wanted to say it because I know there are some people out there that need to hear it.
Yeah, I think, you know, for a lot of people, the most entrepreneurial thing you could do right now might be to shut your gym and wait and do something else or start something else straight away. It would, you know, it's like a lot of these guys had really successful CD and record shops like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what was the most entrepreneurial thing for them? Was it just to keep fighting on in the face of Spotify online downloads and just like keep digging their heels and see that they could do it? No. They had basically an online pandemic into their industry.
Mm.
And the most entrepreneurial and successful ones, they just quit the earliest. They probably were the first to quit and the first to change to what's going to be the right thing. And things have vastly changed. So whether you change your gym or you just shut your gym and do something online, or you shut your gym and wait to open a new, better gym in a different environment when the economy is looking better, whatever you do, I think you just got to take some action out of this.
Absolutely. All right, guys, we'll leave it there. Remember our sponsor, waterfy.com/MMP. If you guys want to make the change over today, But guys, we'll see you in part two of this episode. All right, thanks guys. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.